Hey, hey, and welcome to Unlock Your Hidden Fear to Unleash Your Extraordinary Potential. And I am your host, Sanford McMurray. I thank you guys very much for joining me today. Today, I wanted to focus on brain health, which I actually call mental health. All right, they're two different things, but they're still dealing with that mental part of our life. And I want to focus on emotional intimacy, which I call emotional health. And a lot of times I just interchange these two words, all right? Because when you're dealing with your emotions, it's all about being in touch with yourself, with the people around you, with nature, and your mission, okay? To me, that's based in every aspect of what I call mental wealth, your mental, your physical, your emotional, and your spiritual health. Your mental health, of course, is how you think, what you're thinking. Your physical is how you move, why you're moving. Your emotional is how you feel inside and out. Okay, we can't forget the out. A lot of people forget that part. And that spiritual health is not just having a faith or a religion. It's, you know, that's a part of it. But it's also based in spirituality. Your spiritual health is also based on what I call your VIPs. Okay, that is your values, your interests, and your principles. Okay, we have those. A lot of us just aren't in touch with them or even want to talk about them, okay? We're so far off the center of who we are because we're trying to fit in with this, the world that's moving around us. You know, the internet's getting faster and faster. We're not able to keep up with that. Media is telling us what they want us to hear. The government's telling us what it wants us to hear. I'm not saying that these things aren't true, but for us to get through our everyday life, we're inundated with too much information and not enough inspiration. In other words, being able to connect to who we truly are, to do what it is we need to do to love our life, to love those we care for, to be connected to nature, and to do in life what we are here to do, not just a job. Not just a job. We're not meant to go just to any old job. We're all here for a specific purpose. So today, I wanted to speak on brain health or mental health, emotional intimacy or emotional health, okay? So we're going to look at a couple of people who have struggled with their mental and emotional health. I'm also going to give you some statistics and some information, studies around what affects the mental health and the emotional health. And then when we get around toward the end, I'm going to give you some of the things that I've done to help myself rebalance each day or each month or each year, okay? And I'm not by any means have this down to a perfect science yet. I'm a work in progress day by day, month by month, year by year. So I just wanted to get into it. Okay, so if we stop lying and covering up and denying our mental and emotional health issues, so many of us would do so much better. Now, it's easy to lie about these things. It's easy to cover them up because we've gotten so damn good at it, all right? And we don't want to seem weak. We don't want to seem like we want to rely on anyone. We don't want to have to take medication, even though some of us are taking it, and I have nothing against medication. If it helps, it helps. But as I mentioned before, there are four basic things that we're meant to be doing on this planet, and we all know it, but we deny it. Okay, and that in order to have that, in order to really know what that is, we've got to reconnect to it. Okay, and just to reiterate what that is, again, is that connection to ourselves, connection to others, connection to this earth, to the planet, and connection to our true work on this planet. All right, so let me just give you a few people that have struggled with their mental health. Iman Boycott. She was a professional basketball player. First time she tried to kill herself was 10 years old. Okay. Michael Phelps, a famous swimmer, most decorated Olympic swimmer of all time, used drugs to self-soothe and contemplated suicide in dealing with major depression. Allison Schmidt, Olympic swimmer, battled with mental health issues for years. A few months after trying to commit suicide, her teenage cousin died from suicide. Ricky Williams, a former NFL star, retired as a millionaire, yet was never more unhappy in his life. He said he felt isolated and the time At that time, his family and his friends didn't know anything about it and couldn't relate to his depression or social anxiety. Serena Williams, superstar tennis player, after winning Wimbledon, she found herself unhappy and crying all the time. She was also struggling with her mental health. And now, here's a few celebrities that we know as well that we may not have known that have been struggling with their mental and emotional health. Selena Gomez, Halle Berry, Adele, Lady Gaga, okay? These are people that we hear about because they're in the media as high profile. That's high profile people. But we never hear about the young boy, young girl in Draco, Denmark, or Fukuoka, Japan, or Hawke's Eye Bay, New Zealand, or Mount Isa, Australia, or Grand Crossings, Illinois, in America. We never hear about these people who are struggling with their mental and emotional health. This is not a new topic for me. I have been speaking and running programs around mental health, around emotional health, around spiritual health, around physical health for more than 6 years, sharing the facts, talking about the warning signs, and speaking to experts and bringing experts onto my show. You know, I'm talking about this. Now that the news is talking about it, people are going, is this real? Is this really happening? But, you know, I say I've been talking about that specifically for the last five years, but really I've been talking about it for the last 30 years, ever since I've been a professional performer, singer and dancer, actor, and a competitive athlete. And then later on, I went into coaching. So I was constantly coaching my athletes through a lot of mental health injuries, a lot of emotional health injuries, a lot of spiritual health injuries, a lot of physical health injuries. It's going on. It's real, folks. We have to stop pretending that the world is flat. It's not. Okay? We have to stop pretending that the moon is too far out of reach, that we haven't been there. We have. And the same thing with this mental health and this mental wealth process that I'm talking about. It's real. Okay? Why am I speaking on it again? Because it's a very, very, very important issue, and it's not changing. The governments just keep throwing money at it. And they're focusing on the far end of mental health. And I say the far end, it's not like it's not needed, because it is. There are people who are struggling with bipolar. There are people who are struggling with autism. There are people who are struggling with high maintenance traumas. All right? Those people out there. But what I'm talking about is everyday mental health. Everyday mental health. Struggling at the job. Someone's bullying you at the job. You don't want to be at that job. You've gone as far as you can go at that job. You know, you're getting crapped on at that job. At school, you know, you want to be playing a sport or you want to be doing art, but your folks, they say you can't do that. You got to focus on those books. And again, there's nothing wrong with studying, okay? But why do we not allow our kids to study those things that they're passionate about, that they're so good at now, or they're getting good at, or that they want to get good at, that they're going to do later to provide to the world their gifts, their true gifts, okay? And then there's that emotional. Okay? You broke up with someone, or you're divorced, or you want to see someone, or you've been emotionally, physically abused. You know, all these things have to do with that emotion, all right? Some of us have had such a connection to our partners, and then when they separated from us, we just went numb. Or some of us have been in so many different relationships, we're just numb. We don't even want to think about it, feel about it, all right? And if we're getting intimate with someone, there's nothing to it. We just do it just to get that release, and then we move on. Okay, and then there's the spiritual health. To me, your spiritual connects, it comes back to all and connects all of your mental wealth properties. Okay, and again, with your spiritual health, you have to understand what your values are, your interests, and of course, your principles. All right, so let's take a step back and I'll explain what mental health is. Mental health is the ability to process information that comes into your world, such as stress, fear, rejection, loss, and you know, you can see how that kind of bleeds into your emotional health. Also, it's what you think, how you use your thinking process, what you're allowing into your brain, okay? The people you meet, the places you go, and the books you read, all right? Emotional intimacy or emotional health is the ability to express your feelings once the information comes in, all right? You're able to express laughter or screaming or crying or running away, being mean or spiteful, being vulnerable and open. These are all processes of your emotional health. It's important to be able to express these things. A lot of people shut these things down, and therefore they ferment in the body, all right? And they cause injury, and they cause illness in the body, all right? Mental health is thinking. Emotional health is expression of that thinking. It never ceases to amaze me whenever I create a new program for schools or for youth clubs. And without fail, some adult will come to me and ask me, where's the fun part of the program? Of course, I have been asked this question before, so three things pop into my head immediately. First of all, my programs have a physical component, and it's based in the circus world. Okay, so I use juggling, I use basic acrobatics and handstands and then partner acrobatics in each of my programs. Even when I'm dealing with adults, even when I'm working in the corporate space, I still bring the circus element in there because it allows people to open up. It challenges people. It brings people together, all right? So what's not fun about that? Secondly, our kids already know how to have fun, okay? They often remind us because we forget to enjoy ourselves because we're so busy. I got finger quotes up here. We're so busy, We're not connected to anything but our work, our house, our stuff, and getting quote unquote making our kids happy and healthy when we're not happy and healthy as adults. Okay, so kids already know how to have fun. As a matter of fact, they're having so much fun, you have to tell them to settle down. Stop making so much noise up there. Don't make me come up there. Kids know how to have fun. They can have fun with a box. Okay, so we don't need to push that. It's already there. And thirdly, when we as people are not around other people, all right, we feel invisible. We feel inadequate. It's in those alone moments. It's in those alone moments where people feel that fear and that anxiety and that shame and that insecurity, or what I like to call FOSSY. Okay. So it's in those moments that if we build up our youth, their mental health, if we build up their emotional health, if we build up their physical and their spiritual health, then when they're in those alone moments, they can reflect back to those times when they were stronger. They can reflect back to the people they connected to. Or if they need to, they can reach out to someone because we're lifting them. We're showing them that support. We're showing that we're also doing the work. We have to be role models. As long as we're on the planet, we have to role model to our kids. And we have to role model to ourselves and to our peers. If you're not role modeling, I don't know what you're doing, okay? Because it goes back to your spiritual health, understanding your values, your interests, and your principles, okay? We all have interests. The question is, are we doing something within those interests each day? What causes mental emotional problems? Well, according to mind.org, UK, child abuse, trauma, and neglect, social isolation and loneliness, experiencing discrimination or stigma, social disadvantages, poverty or debt, losing someone, a severe or long-term stress, having long-term physical health conditions, unemployment, losing a job, homelessness or poor housing, drugs and alcohol, bullying, domestic violence, victim of or seeing a violent crime or disaster. And as I mentioned, a disaster, so that could be war, plane crash, tornado, earthquake, those sorts of things. And then there's also the chemical element, okay? So some of that mental and emotional problems run within our family, okay? And I'm not going to sit up here and say that it doesn't affect us, because it does. Again, we're seeing that directly or indirectly. And it's going to come, it's going to follow us down the line. They call it intergenerational trauma or health, okay? So our kids are seeing and feeling what we felt. Okay, there's a lot of studies based around the Holocaust, Holocaust survivors from there in Germany, okay? When they had the Jewish people in the gas chambers and things like that, how that still affects their kids today. And of course, it would fall in the same realm of how slavery would affect the people of color, okay, today, still, all right? And again, there's a direct demonstration from our parents, our parents' parents, our parents' parents' parents, and then there's the indirect flow on from that. Okay, that could be financially, that could be with the anxiety, that could be with the stress. Those things follow down the line. Okay, I know it's scary to bring up mental and emotional health because we cannot talk about it without revealing our own past family issues. And studies show a lot of parents, teachers, even world leaders don't know they are struggling with emotional and mental health conditions, okay? And again, let's just be perfectly clear. Everyone has mental health. Everyone has physical health. Everyone has spiritual and emotional health. That's not the issue. The issue is the conditions are what I like to call the injuries. Okay, just like a physical injury, you scrape your knee, you fall, you break a bone, that's an injury. The same thing happens with your mental, emotional, and spiritual health. But one quick way to recognize if you are a family member are struggling with short or long-term mental and emotional issues is to take a step back at how you are handling your current everyday situations. Like we can go back and we can look at the coronavirus, okay? There's a lot of countries still in the depth of that. India is currently having a huge, big outbreak right now, okay? But America struggled, Australia struggled, every country around the world struggled with that. And it's still here affecting us. How did everyone handle it when we had that huge shutdown? How did everyone handle it? Where did you go? What did you feel? All right? I understand that domestic violence went up. I understand that eating went up. I understand that drinking went up. I understand that drug abuse went up. I understand that people having sex went up, so a lot more babies are being born. That's not a bad thing, and it's a good thing, but you can have too much of anything. This is what we need to recognize, okay? Are you using that sex just as a release, just because they're there, just because, you know, you want to go and sleep with somebody, you know, you may not even be your partner, it could be somebody else, all right? How are you using the sex? What is it giving to you? Is it allowing you connection, I guess is my point there. Is it a real connection? Is it a real moment that you can connect to you and you can connect to them? These insights are from Sane Australia, okay? Other ways that you can understand if you're struggling with your emotional and mental health, if you're feeling anxious and worried all day and all night, feeling depressed or unhappy, tearful often, avoiding hobbies and even your interest. Emotional outburst, anger, and frustration. Again, it's all right to express your emotion, but does it just snap? Or do you just snap all the time? And then do you say things like, well, it runs in the family? Or, you know, you should know how I'm feeling. No. No one should know how you're feeling. Only you know how you're feeling at that time. And then you let it out. But is that really what you're angry about? Is that really what you're frustrated about? Okay. Sleeping problems. You know, they say the average sleep should be between 6 and 8 hours. I debate that a bit. I say sleep when you're tired, wake when you wake up, all right? But if you're waking up because you're always in your head or you're always worried or you're always scared, then that's a problem. That's a problem, okay? Weight or appetite changing, up and down constantly. Eating, or not eating. Okay, that's a problem. Even more withdrawing from life, especially people and friends, okay? Substance abuse, you know, again, drugs, alcohol, food is a substance, okay? Keep that in mind. Feeling guilty or worthless frequently, criticizing or blaming others or yourself, expressing feelings of hurting or killing yourself or someone else. Okay, huge changes in your behavior or feelings. Now, I want to end this by saying that one size doesn't fit all in every situation, okay? Our brains are constantly thinking, trying to problem solve, find peace, fun, and safety from, you know, things that seem to control us, things that are uncomfortable. But, you know, the thing I want to say about the uncomfortable bit is I feel that we have to learn to have uncomfortable conversations to be able to heal. You know, we have this, the race issues come back around, okay? Now, I have points of view on this just like everybody else. But for so many white people, it's making them angry, it's making them feel guilty, it's making them feel ashamed, and they're starting to have outbursts. It's not new, it's always happened, it's just on video now. But for a lot of black people, we also are angry, we're upset. We have years of history of being in slavery, Jim Crow, you know, dealing with civil rights and all these things. And we know they exist. But even across the board, some black people ignore it. Some white people ignore it because it makes us feel uncomfortable. But it's the uncomfortable stuff that we need to talk about to heal. Okay? That's just on the race issue. Imagine how much we're sweeping under the carpet with our mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical health. When we hide things, that's where the sickness lives, okay? The issues are in the tissues. In other words, they're locked in our bodies. They're locked in that hurting back that you're having each morning. They're locked in those knees. They're locked in those shoulders and those fingers. They're locked in that headache that you're constantly having, that migraine. They're locked in that those chest palpitations that you get. They're locked in that frown that you have each morning you wake up, that fatigue that you take through your day. Okay? There's where it all is. We have to have the uncomfortable conversations with our families, with our friends. Go to therapy if you must. You know, this is my business. I don't work with adults, but I'm more than happy to work with you. Okay? Youth are my main thing, particularly between 15 and 24. Okay, that's that change. That's that phase of change. Okay? Our kids are, you know, 15, they're really starting to get much more independent. They're starting to look for work. They're thinking about their futures a little bit more. And without our pressure, they're still thinking about their future. They don't need to pressure them. Okay, we need to guide them. But we need to know what that looks like. Okay? So that means another uncomfortable conversation needs to happen between the child and the parent. Okay? And then they're going to move out of the house, and we want them to move out of the house to get the experience, but we don't want them to move out of the house because we know how screwed up the world is. You know what I'm saying? So it's a bit of a catch-22 there, you know? They have to get out to get the experience. They are trying to get that independence, but they know they're still relying on you in some way, shape, or form, you know? And so at this age, you know, a lot more things are suppressed, a lot more arguments happen, which is, I'm going to say normal, okay? But we can create a new normal if we are actually looking at our mental, physical, emotional, spiritual health, if we're looking at the mental wealth of who we are and who our children are, because they are their own individual entity. Yes, they have your DNA. Yes, they have a lot of what you've taught them, okay? But they still want to get out and explore who they are. This is so very important, parents, okay? And so I work with youth on how to discover that. So I work with youth on how to break old behaviors, old ways of thinking, okay? I help them to follow their dreams and aspirations, help them map that out so they have a path they can follow. And I help them to move. I get them into moving, whatever that movement looks like, so they create a habit over their lifetime, so they don't get stuck, so they don't get overweight or underweight, so they start eating better, you know, as they're starting to go to university or as they get out into the work world, as they go to open their business, as they have stresses, okay? So those are things that I do. Okay, so I just want to leave you guys with some of the things before I close out here. Five things that I do to move myself into my center, to calm myself, to really step into what I call my extraordinary potential, which we all have. Okay, it's that gift, it's that natural gift that we were given when we were born. You know, it's one of my favorite quotes that I love to say. Khalil LeBron says, "When we are born, our work is placed in our hearts." Our work is placed in our hearts, okay? So that center is already placed in us. That center, again, let me just remind you, is being connected. So many of us are disconnected. And that center is you're connected to yourself. You're connected to other people. You're connected to the earth, okay? Walk in the grass, play in the grass, go outside, breathe the air, and then you're connected to your true work, okay? So here are five things before I finish off. And I want to thank you guys very much for listening. Make sure that you share this podcast. Make sure you like the podcast. And make sure you leave a comment. It's always a blast coming to speak to you guys. I really appreciate you showing up. So five things that I do to pull myself back on center, to really calm myself down and reflect on my own mental and emotional health. One, I do a breathing technique called the Wim Hof method, a breathing technique. Okay, so he does these really quick breaths. You can look him up. Wim Hof is his name. They call him the Iceman. Look him up. He does these really quick breaths in, then he exhales and he holds as long as he can. And then once he can't hold anymore, or once I can't hold, or whoever's doing, I breathe in and then I hold that breath. Okay, this causes a panic inside your body, teaching you to focus on is find out where that anxiety is, where that sadness or that stress is, so you can calm yourself. Okay, this also helps to strengthen your heart, strengthen your lungs, helps you learn to center yourself. It's great for your skin. Okay, and then he also does ice baths, or he jumps in cold ice water, things to that effect. Again, look him up. I do the breathing often. I don't do the cold as often as I should, but since it's getting cooler here in Brisbane now, I'm doing my cold showers. My roommate says, I can see that steam coming out of the shower, Sanford. I know you're not taking cold showers. I do take the cold showers. I start off with cold, okay, and I breathe through that. And then when I'm washing my body, I move to the warmer water, okay? So it's not always what people see. You know if you're doing the work or not, okay? The second thing I do is I do different stretches and fitness routines. So I mix my routines up, okay, so they're not the same, all right? And again, these are things that I create for our youth as well. And there is a stretch. There's a stretch that I do probably 95% of my mornings right here in my own room. I do it in the bed before I even get out of bed, okay? I have a short routine. I have a long routine depending on the time, okay? So stretching, I do each day, some form, somehow. And fitness, I mix that up as well. And I do that at least 3 to 4 times a week, okay? When I think of friends or family, I call them. I'm a voice-to-voice or face-to-face person. And I'm just thinking, let it fall by the wayside. You know, you could feel my ego sometimes gets in the way and says, oh, they haven't called me, blah, 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 blah. But it's not, I can't let how other people feel affect what I do and how I feel. So I call people up when I'm thinking about them, or I will drop them a text. But most time I call, I try to get them on Facebook Live or something like that, okay? Number four, I write. I love writing, okay? Sometimes poetry, sometimes prose are on topics that I love to write about. I journal as well. Just on a side note, men, you need to start journaling. More men need to journal, okay? Because you have so many thoughts that run through your head. Even though they say, you know, a woman's brain is all complicated and all connected, but a man only thinks one topic at a time. Well, part of the reason we have a lot of stress, men, is because we are going through like a book. We kind of, you know, how you thumb the pages of a book. That's how we're thinking, all right? And we get on one page, and then we think about that thing, and it just drives us bonkers, okay? And we turn to our addictions, okay? So journal, put these things down so you have them on paper so you can look at them and look back at them and see if you've gone past that or what you need to do, okay? And the fifth and last one, folks, is I reflect on my relationships, okay? The ones that have brought me into the world, the ones that have given me love, the ones that have helped me to be who I am, okay? It's called a reflection on those who've loved you into being. Reflection of those who loved you into being, okay? So those are just 5 things that I do, and that's all for me today. I want to thank you guys very much for popping in and really focus on and look at your own brain health, your own mental health, your emotional intimacy, your emotional health, and of course, your physical and spiritual health. You guys have been absolutely wonderful. Thank you for popping in today. Of course, you can reach me on, well, there's a couple places you can reach me. You can, of course, check me out on Instagram, okay? Instagram, Life Coach to the Arts. You can look me up on Facebook. I'm there, Sanford McMurray. You can look at my YouTube channel, again, Sanford McMurray. I have a lot of videos up there. It talks a lot about the mental wealth process. I have things to talk about injuries, shoulders, back, knees. I do a variety of things dealing with the mental wealth pillars, mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional. And then, of course, you can always email me at sanford@intrepid21stcentury.com, sanford@intrepid21stcentury.com, or on my other email address, which is cheersport@me.com. That's cheersport@me.com. Also, check out my website, www.intrepid21stcentury.com. Thank you guys very much for listening. Have an absolute wonderful day, evening, or afternoon, wherever you are in the world. And we'll talk to you guys soon. Remember to always, always love your mission. Peace. Bye now.